Freedom is a wonderful thing, especially when we allow sin to just allow God to break the sin of the chains that it binds us under. When we are free from that shame and that guilt, man, we could run so much further. We can do so much more because we trust that God has us. So when we come together and we listen about Proverbs 27:17, we intentionally understand it that God is coming through us to sharpen our spirit to be ready to share the good news. This morning, allow the Holy Spirit to sharpen you. Allow the Holy Spirit to chip away at the things that need to be chipped away at. I pray that you are responsive, that you are listening to God this morning, and that you are freed from the sin that which binds you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your Spirit. May we hear from you. May we be freed this morning from the sin that binds us. Sharpen us so we're ready to go out and share your word. May we be free from the shame and the guilt of sin. May we trust that you knock it off of us. May it have no more power upon us. May we truly trust in you this morning. May you do new work this morning in our lives. We give you all the praise. Lord, as we take offering, may we give with a heart of joy this morning. May we trust that you will use it to further your kingdom. Lord, you are why we are here. We worship you alone. We give you all the praise this morning. Work in our lives. May we hear your voice. May you sharpen us. Amen. Ushers. We're going to do something a little bit different today. We're still doing testimonies, and I'm going to take about 10 minutes, I hope. Who knows? Sometimes I go a little bit longer. I'm sorry. But I want you to first know that I'm excited. I've been excited for this series. I love hearing where God is moving. I hope you do too. And just like the other ones that have come up and spoke, and how God has moved in their lives, I'm hoping that you understand that God is writing in your life, and he's had a testimony for you to share. And it's not this weird competition that we like to do, right? Like, oh, his is so much better. I don't have that. No, God's got your perfect story to share with somebody in your life for a reason. All right? Why are we doing this past month? Is we want to make you understand that you matter in this story, that you matter, that God has put his life in you for a reason and wants you to share it. And sometimes our testimony is with our words, but I want to say our testimony needs to be lived out, right? There needs to be breath and action to our testimony. Today, I just want to introduce you. Before it comes up, we're going to do communion. But I have a friend, his name's Ed, and he's going to share his story this morning. And I just want you to know I'm excited for what God has got in store for us through him. All right? And so before he even comes up as I'm preaching, if you're not going to pay attention to what I have to say, that's fine. Be praying for Ed. All right? Be praying that he has confidence that God is going to move this morning, that no matter what he says, it's going to glorify God. Right? So as a church, we're going to be praying for Ed as he shares his testimony. Right? Awesome. All right. As you can tell, we have communion. And we're going to take communion, and I'm doing things a little bit. We're going to do communion in the middle of our service. And I want to talk about Paul really quick. Paul wrote to the Corinthians church, and Paul is this guy who early on in his life, he was known as Saul. And he was a guy that he was on a mission to that he thought was from God to get rid of all the Christians. He thought that God had put in, like, these Christ followers were just people that were disrupting the church, disrupting what God wanted, and he was a guy of zeal. He was a guy that, like, when he was on a mission, there was nothing that was going to step in his way to complete that mission. And so, in like, when he would arrest a follower of Christ or even take a follower of Christ out, and I mean not for dinner, all right? He would do it with a smile. He would do it with excitement because he thought he was doing what God's called him to do, right? And you've probably met people in your life who are like, okay, they think they're righteous. They think they know what they're doing, and it's for God, and it doesn't quite go along with what Scripture says, but okay. And what I love about this story is, like, God uses the people that we don't expect to be used by God. He knocks Saul on his rear end off a horse and makes him blind. And then says, I've got a real calling for you. I sent my son to die on a cross for you, Saul. And I'm going to use you to further that kingdom. Now, anybody else in this scenario is thinking, that is not the one you call, because now all these followers of Christ know who Saul is, and they're not going to want anything to do with him. Right? Like, he has taken out family members and friends and family. And like, it is scary to worship around Saul. It is scary to claim, I'm a Christ follower around this guy. And all of a sudden, God goes, no. I'm going to use this guy to further our kingdom. Makes him blind. He goes and visits one of God's chosen in this moment, and like they're like, okay, which I love. I love there's hesitation, but at the same time, they do it. I want you to know God can handle our hesitation, because I think there's times that God has called you personally to go and share his message, and you're like, I know this is going to be maybe even chance to ruin relationships, right? It's already kind of delicate with these people. But what I love is these disciples said, okay, we'll bring Saul in. All of a sudden, he can see again, right? And he's given a new name, Paul. And Paul becomes that same attitude that he had for his mission that he was thinking was for God. Now he's got this huge ambition to share the message that God has put on his life that he knows that can cost him his own life. All right? Isn't that amazing? That's so cool. And he writes this letter to the Corinthians church. Now, this is a church that is a messy, messy church. There's dissension. There's people in the church that don't like each other. They're doing things that are very pagan. They're just not living right. And they come together as a church. All right? What I love, too, is about this story is, like, he didn't come in and go, listen, you guys are not behaving like a church. You're not being like a church. You're not, like, you're really not a church that God would go, yeah, let's bless them, right? He didn't come in and go, listen, you're doing this wrong. I'm going to close the doors. You guys should not meet anymore. Instead, he goes, listen, you're messy, it's not good, and you're taking advantage of the communion. And we're in a pinpoint communion this morning with them, right? And let me explain communion really quick. Communion is a symbol that Jesus has gifted us with of the Last Supper, right? And he held up the cup, and it was the symbol of his blood. And he's going to bleed this blood for us, for atonement of our sins, which he's signifying, Jesus was signifying in this moment, listen, none of you are innocent. Can you imagine sitting at that table? That's fun. And he could, like, really, Jesus could have called out all their sins in that Last Supper right there. But he's saying, listen, my blood will spill because of you and for you. And then he picked up the bread and he broke it and he gave it to him. And he says, every time you get together, this bread is a symbol of my life in which I will break for you. It will be beaten, torn up. And it's not figuratively, literally, Jesus' body was beaten and torn up for our sins. And he sits around that table with his buddies, his 12 good friends, and even one that was already planning to betray him. And this is what I love about Jesus. Like, even though he could have easily said, I know what you've already done, Judas. I already know that you've turned your back on me and that you are going to turn me over with a kiss. Like, how horrible. And he served Judas the same communion as everybody else. So Paul understands this, and he's talking to the Corinthians. And what I love about this is it's awesome. He gives some instructions, and I'm going to read it really quick. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. We don't usually do this because we just assume that you probably have already done this. But this morning, when we take communion, I wonder how often in our relationship that is not healthy with us and God. That we understand the last couple of days, I have abused his body, I have taken for granted the blood that was spilt for me, and I have not lived the life that he has redeemed. Do you understand? Like, that's the whole point of this. It's not necessarily what is in this moment of my life right now. It is what I have done and how I have abused the redemption story that God has written in my life through the week. And I would probably say all of us in this moment are probably not innocent. We've probably thought things, done things, said things that is not what God would want or bless. You see, the moment that we allow and understand who Jesus Christ is in our lives, right? We've changed and we become new, this new being. And in that, we understand our lives are now broken. Our lives are now bleeding with Jesus Christ on the cross in this moment because we understand the redemption story is not just his. He involves us part of it. And we live in that, right? Because we're supposed to. But boy, there's moments I think that we get more concerned about our future. We get more concerned about what we have and what we don't have. We might even be more concerned that we haven't heard from God in years or it's just, I don't know. Doubt just reigns. This morning, Peg's gonna play a little. And we're not ending the service on this. This is what's awesome. I just think it's so important because in the middle of this, I think we need to be self-reflective before we even get into the testimony. Because the reality is for me this. If God, I think this is a lot of the issues that we have throughout our, our walk with God, and even when we come and be in the presence of God, we're wanting God to move in our lives, are we not? We probably want a sermon that is just so engaging. We want something for our own personal selves to be just, if I want to be fed, right? Like it sits there. I want you to know, man, God wants to feed you this morning. He really does. But I think sometimes we get so caught up in the details of things that we miss it. We miss it. We're living in our own little world that we miss it. And I started thinking about that, and I started praying about that, and I started thinking about, man, we need to self-examine our own walk. We need to self-examine our own lives with God and allow Him to speak. And doing that in the middle, before Ed comes up to give his testimony, I think will even enrich us more for what we have to hear from Him. So those that have been asked to come and let's take some trays. And they're gonna pass the trays this morning in your rows, all right? And you're gonna grab a cup and you're gonna grab a piece of the cracker that symbolizes Jesus' body and symbolizes His blood. And I want you to take a moment and allow God to move and examine your life. Go ahead. Go ahead. And we'll take this together. But I want you to hold on to it. And this is what I'm going to pray, that you're not distracted by anybody else. You're not thinking about any other story of anything else that's going on in this world. My hope and my prayer this morning is that you are listening and in tuned with God this morning. That He speaks to you. That He's got a message directly to you this morning. And it might be awkward. There might be silence. You might be like, oh, when are we going to do it? Allow God to move this morning. Allow God to hear your heart. Allow God to move in your heart today. As we already heard about kids' camp, God is boundless. He has no limits. And He will reach you right where you're at. What I also love about God is He's never content with where you're at. Because He loves you so much, He wants you to move with Him, to be in step with Him. Because the best place in your entire life is to be in step with God. So take a moment. Think about the little piece of bread that you hold, and think about the little cup that you hold this morning and what they symbolize and what they mean to you. Jesus bled for you. Jesus was beaten for you. If you're online with us this morning too, I encourage you to go get a cup of juice, a piece of bread. You're part of our body. When the ushers are done, you guys can bring them back up. Thank you. Lord, this morning, may your voice be loud and clear. I pray right now that every single one of us allow you to examine our hearts. Lord, maybe we've been really negative lately. Maybe we've been living in the despair. And Lord, as we've already said this morning, you will reach into every single situation and redeem it. May we know that. May we trust that. This morning, I hope that the piece of bread and the cup that we hold are more than just a piece of bread and a cup that we hold. We understand the significance that these symbols weigh upon us. Your blood frees us from our sin. Your body is broken so we can be new again. Lord, may we be new right now. I pray that we never take these things for granted. Redeem us in this moment. Jesus sat with his friends at a table and he picked up the bread. And he said, every time you get together, every time you sit and have dinner together, break this bread. And understand that you break this bread as a symbol of my body breaking for you. Take and know that God loves you. Jesus started pouring the wine. And he just looked at his friends, and it was one of those looks that was probably a very intense look of sincere love. One of those looks that just peered straight through you and saw everything in which you hid from the world, and you're like, oh. And he goes, I love you this much, and every time you get together from this point on, do it in my name. Understand that when you drink this, when you drink of my vine, that I bring new life to you daily because my blood was spilt for you. As you take, I want you to understand you don't deserve this. It's not being mean because none of us can earn salvation. It is a gift given freely today. A life was given so that you can have a life without sin. And every time we come together, every time we sit down and have dinner, and we give thanks to God, and we do our little prayer, I hope and I pray that you understand that the significance, it doesn't mean what you drink, it is the significance of why you drink. We thirst no more. Our spirit has been found. We have an understanding of why we live. And it is because his blood has atoned us. You have been made new. And when you drink understanding, he makes you new with his sacrifice for you. Let's drink. this morning. I just want to invite Ed up, and he's going to share his testimony. And I purposely asked the ushers to leave a plate up here with the symbols of the Last Supper. And my thought is this. The whole point of having a table up here, the whole point of having chairs up here, is not for aesthetic value. It's to understand that at the table, where we live daily, where we meet with people, that testimonies are lived out. That God is moving. Let's hear it for Ed.
Good morning, folks. I don't know who's more nervous, me sitting up here talking to you all or Julie back there, knowing that she's been wanting me to write this down or make notes, and true to my form, I'm flying off by the seat of my drawers.
Awesome.
The top of my head, but it comes from deep within my heart. I want to go back about 2015. Our first grandson was just turning 3. He is a handful. He's flying around the house. I can't keep up with him because of my size and my one bad knee. So I go to an ortho doc, tell him what's going on. He starts working on my right knee. I start losing weight. I start feeling better. He gave me a bunch of injections into my right knee, and the weight started coming off. And the more that I did things, the more activities I added to my life. I started walking my neighborhood just around the block. I increased it to 4 blocks, to the point I had 3 routes in my neighborhood. I had a mile and a half, and 2.5 miles. And I would walk these before I go to work every day. Usually before work, at my height, I was clocking 4 to 5 miles in the morning before I'd go to work. I'd walk another 3 to 4 miles with my work. I would add another mile on my lunch break, and then I would come home, putts around the yard, and then I got introduced to pickleball. So I started playing pickleball, and I was struggling to play one night a week. Then I was playing 2. Then I was up to playing 4 to 5 days a week, and then my knee started swelling up on me. Then I had to slow down, but I kept going. I thought, and the weight still kept coming off. I thought I needed a new challenge. So let's go big or go home. I started to train for a triathlon. I knew I could do the biking. I knew the swimming was no problem with me, but the mile, and this is not an Ironman triathlon by all means. I ain't that good, folks. These are sprints, so it was a 100-yard swim, a 5 to 6 mile bike ride, and a mile walk. I can't run, but I did a fast walk, and I got through it. And as I crossed the finish line, I told Julie, I said, I'd do this so I could spend more time with you. So we got through that. She said, I think I can do a triathlon with you. So I said, yes, you can. So we started training for another triathlon. And she said, I want to go with you to exercise. Well, that turned into a small fiasco because she can't walk or ride a bike as fast as I can. So we'd start out together by 2 blocks. I've done left her in the dust. So, but we still did it. We biked, we swam, we walked, and we did our triathlon together on a rainy Sunday morning up in Petersburg. Our oldest and our youngest came out there to support us, and they said, well, if Mom and Dad can do it, we can do it. So flash forward to our third triathlon, the 4 of us did a triathlon together. I was very grateful, very happy, but as I crossed the line, I blew up my Achilles tendon. It didn't blow all the way, but it tweaked it, stretched it over, ripped it or something, but it started hobbling me, and this was in 2019. So I'm still working in as a janitor. I'm still walking 3 to 4 miles, still trying to play pickleball, and I go on. Well, then we all know what happened that winter of 2020. We got slammed with COVID, shut everything down, shut me down. And the problem was I started working every day. While everybody got to enjoy staying home for work, I still had to go to work. And I got moved to a new building, and I was working 7 days a week. I started, all I could do was work, sleep, and eat. Guess what? All the weight come flying back on. I had lost close to 132 pounds before COVID hit me. Well, there by 21, three-fourths of that weight all came back. And I went to see another orthosurgeon, same one that got my right knee squared away. And he said, there ain't nothing I can do for you. I said, what do you mean I can't? You're too heavy. You're too fat. You need to lose weight. I said, I can't walk. That's how I lost my weight. No, I don't care. You gotta lose weight before I'll touch you. So I pouted and kicked things around for a while. I thought, no, this ain't got me. Went and saw a second orthosurgeon who specializes in bigger folks. He basically said the same thing, but he said, oh, I'll give you some pain pills. I said, okay. I'll give you a script for 10 pills. He said, take them on your bad day. My bad day is a lot of people's worst nightmares because I don't go to seek treatment until the pain level gets over 10. That was my normal day. I would get up in the morning, my pain was at 10. I'd go to bed at night, and my pain level was at 10. So after that second surgeon gave me that news, I went in a tailspin. I mean, a bad, bad tailspin. Walls started closing in on me. Everything got darker, and I couldn't shake the pain. Nothing helped. No amount of pills, no amount of ice, no amount of therapy, rubbing, massaging, nothing eased my pain. So my prayer became at that point in time, God, please don't let me wake up. Next morning, I'd wake up, I felt my pain, I thought, yeah, God didn't listen to me. I can understand why, but I'm Ed, he knows me. I've tried to shove him off the throne before. So for 5 months, this was my steady prayer. Please take my life to end my pain. Didn't happen. So I said, God, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to end my own life. I'm done with it. I can't handle it no more. This was about mid-November, I thought. I can't wreck the holidays, especially Thanksgiving, because that's my day. That's my holiday. I love Thanksgiving, except for when the kids ask me to make mac and cheese. So I got through Thanksgiving. I thought, I got to get through Christmas. I said, let me get to January. And I got to January. I said, okay, maybe I'll get another day or two to go ice fishing, because if anybody knows me, I love my ice. I love being out there in the bitter cold, sitting on my 5-gallon buckets, staring at a hole. Wouldn't you know it, the weather sucked in January. I thought, well, God, this is your way of telling me. So I thought, I'm going to end my life in February. I hate February. I hate it with a passion. That's a story for a different day. But anyway, I thought, I'm going to pick a nice day in February. I'm going to go sit out underneath my tree, look over my garden, looking at my bees, and end it all. Well, in the meantime, some of you contacted my youngest and invited her to play volleyball here at the church. That would be my Maddie. Anyway, she called one Sunday morning in January. She said, hey, I'm going to church. I said, okay, where? She said, well, I've been playing volleyball. I said, you going to go with me? I said, no, but I said, let me holler at your mom. She said, okay. I hollered at Julie. Julie said, yeah, I'll go. She said, what time? Maddie says, it starts at 10:30. I'll be there in 20 minutes to pick you up. And this was like at 9:30. Julie says, I'll go. Maddie got there, let him in. I said, hey, go to church, come home, we'll go to lunch, and you can tell me all about it, and then I'll make my decision if I want to go with you guys next Sunday. They said, okay. They came home. They were happy. They were bouncing. They were bubbling. I said, where do you want to go? They both said, I want to go get Chinese buffet. So we did. Walked through the door. Lo and behold, who's sitting there? My buddy Tim. I hadn't seen for a while. So, and he was with a group of people. Didn't know any of them. But the relationship Tim and I had, I went up there and I started busting his chops in front of everybody. So I didn't stay long. I didn't want to intrude. So then I went back and sat with Julie and Maddie. We had our lunch. Well, next thing you know, Tim and his wife Peg and asking me if I was going to come to church. I said, from the sounds of it, I think I will. And here's a little caveat. I was invited to this church 6 or 7 years ago, and I turned it down flatly 3 times. So I came. That was the 29th of January, I believe. We're sitting there, and everybody was nice, but, you know, hey, you're a stranger in the church. You just deal with it, and you go on. And that's when we started talking, and one of the announcements was a chili dinner or a chili cook-off. And I get this elbow in my ribs for Madison. Not saying asking, she's saying, you're going to cook in this for this. I said, no. I said, hey, I've just walked into this church. I can't do this. I've been in enough cooking competitions. I'm not going to be the new dog in this race and try to screw things up. She said, you're going to cook in this chili cook-off. I said, whatever. Next Sunday, we come. I'm enjoying myself. Again, they said, that with the chili. Again, I got an elbow to my ribs saying, you're going to cook. I said, okay, if I'm cooking, you're cooking with me. She said, done. So we did. We came. We made 3 different soups that day, 1 chili, 2 soups. I have no high hopes. I make a good chili, yes. I've been told that for many, many years, but it's a good eating chili, nothing more, nothing less. Well, you all proved me wrong. You all loved it. I don't know about your taste, but anyway. Knowing that from the cooking competitions I've done, walking in, winning a competition on somebody else's home turf, usually I get ostracized. But the outpouring of love and caring and kindness I experienced that day, it was like God flipped the switch. He said, hey, dummy, this is where you need to be. So, folks, that's why I'm here. And it only took me 1.5 years with this story on my heart to tell it to Ben 3 months ago. I sat in that chair on this story, just keeping it to myself. 3 months ago, I shared it with Ben on a Wednesday night, and I said, we got to talk. So we talked. I came out here, and I felt a lot better. I felt more complete than I have in a long time. 2 months ago, I was walking out of here on a Sunday. I said, Ben, I'm ready to share my story to the church if you see fit. If you can fit it somewhere to make it work, use me. Do what you got to do. So I sit here today to let you know God's got you. I want to say a big thank you to my wife, my kids, Stephen, Erica, and Maddie. and you to the congregation of First Naz. You saved my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And remember this, forever and ever, God loves you, and so do I.
Amen.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Stay, stay. Hold on. Just stay right here. When he told me 3 months ago, the thing that Ed doesn't know, and I think I shared with you in that moment too, is I needed to hear his testimony. I needed to know how God is still moving. About a year ago, this church was really kind. My father passed away. My father, a lot of you don't know, my father took his own life. He was a very proud man, but he also was going through a lot of pain. And he was probably saying the same prayer where, Lord, please just take me. I don't want to wake up. And he gave up hope. And I want you to know, I am so praising God that we are a part of a church that shows that our God is still powerful, still loving, and that we are people of hope. And we want people to know that hope. And it gives me understanding of why I do what I do. Because if we had a church, if we were down there with my dad, I think he probably would have been saved too. Because he would have seen the hope that has restored us and redeemed us. And it could be a chili cook-off, it could be volleyball, it could be all those things, but in those things, we are showing God's hope, his love, his redeeming power, and that we can get through this life with him. How big it is for him to share his testimony in that moment with me 3 months ago, because I was in a dark place 3 months ago. Not that I was going to take my life, but I was just depressed. Because I was still hurt. But I will tell you, the moment that he gave me that story, his testimony of how God moved in his life and gave him hope that he can live through this because of him, and it is through us that he showed us that, man, I am more excited to be what God has called us to be, and that God is going to continue to provide us with people that we get to love on and share that hope with them. We are his body. Let's go be the arms of hope and the feet of hope for this world that is lost. I encourage you to hug on Ed today. What's that?
Love you too, brother.
And to live out your testimony, because you don't know the power that you have that is ready to transform a life that needs this hope. All right? Church, go knowing that God loves you, and he encourages you to share that love with everybody around you. Go and live out the testimony. Amen.